L'argomento successivo, what comes next?
Next topic is regards the study of direct methods for solving linear string systems.
Briefly, we will consider three methods. Gaussian elimination method of Gauss. I'm sure you all know this method is the commonly used method, the first method, the one that's in studying these arguments. A specific, very nice method called Cholesky method, devised for Hermitian positive definite matrices. And the third method will be the householder method. We start before giving the definitions, the properties of these methods. It is important to study an aspect of the problem we are facing. The problem is find the solutions, if there are any, of the linear system A by X equal to B. We make a simplifying assumption that is the matrix is square, so also X and B are vectors in C and N. We are working as usual on complex numbers. This is not a restrictive assumption. Most of the consideration which will be made extend to the case of rectangular matrix. So this means a linear system with less or more equations than unknowns. The preliminary important aspect we have to face now is the conditioning of the problem. The problem is find X given A and B. What conditioning means? The conditioning of any problem is a measure of the sensitivity of X to changes, perturbations, changes in the data A and B. If a problem, in our case, the solution solving this linear system is such that if we change the data, one of the data, in some cases, also only one entry of A or B. And we find that the solution changes dramatically. We say that the problem solved in the linear system is ill-conditioned. Ill-conditioned means small changes in AB cause large changes in the solution. I forgot to say that in this case we will assume also that A is non-singular. So we imagine to be in the best case, only one solution exists. Only one solution exists. So, how can I understand if my problem is ill-conditioned or, on the opposite, well-conditioned? There is a measure, a well accepted measure of this sensitivity, which is called condition number, measure of condition. Condition for our problem, this, is given by the number denoted by the Greek letter mi, mi of A, defined as given some norm, some matrix norm, the norm of A multiplied by the norm of the inverse. Why? The answer is given by this inequality, in which that number plays a central role. We want to measure the possible changes in the solution caused by changes in the data. So we compare the solution of the exact problem system with the solution that per target solution of the third order system. Why we call the second system third order? Because we have changed the data, both A plus delta A, and B, the known term.
B is replaced by B plus delta B. Delta A, delta B
are the perturbations.
So this is a matrix. The first is a matrix because it perturbs a matrix. The second is a vector of complex numbers. So here we have another linear system. We modify data. We assume that the modified matrix is invertible, so that also in this case we will have only one solution that we express in this form, the exact solution plus a change. Little bit, we don't know. We want to establish a connection in terms of inequalities, norms, between the change in the solution and the changes in the data. The answer is given by the following inequality, which extends a similar inequality that most of you have seen in the course of Calcolo Numerico, and the extension is this. If the product of the matrix norms of these two norms is strictly less than one, then the change in the solution, which will be measured by this ratio, the vector norm delta x, norms we are choosing are respectively vector norm and matrix norm induced by this. Quando abbiamo due norme, matrice, vettore, ci mettiamo sempre nella condizione migliore che quella di vettore sia la norma che induce, la norma indotta, the induced norm on the matrix. Well, the bound is the following. A comment on the right side of inequality. Here you have the measures of the changes in the data, delta A, delta B, matrix norm, vector norm, measured in a relative sense. So we divide delta A norm by the norm of A, and the same for delta B. All this is multiplied by a number. All these are numbers, it is clear. This number is important because it amplifies, increases, or decreases, or reduces the effect of the perturbation on the data. This is a ratio. The numerator B of A is just the quantity that we have defined here, saying that it will be estimated measure of the conditioning. The denominator is 1 minus this quantity. If we assume that the perturbation over the coefficient matrix is small, the denominator is almost is about 1. So this number is about the condition number of A. It's not exactly the condition number, but it differs from the condition number for a small quantity. It's a good approximation in most cases, in the good cases, for the constant that appears here. The proof of this inequality uses the properties of the norms and the invertibility of a matrix of the same kind of the matrix, the identity loci that we have considered at the end of the first hour of lesson. How does the proof work? We start from the perturbed system from this, and multiply A by X plus delta A by delta X. Let us put them together. X plus delta X equal to B plus delta B, and we have also A minus A by we leave the other term at the first side. So A by X, this by this, and A by that. Okay? X is the exact solution, so A by X makes B. Then we leave in the left side this vector, which is multiplied by A plus delta A, this term and this term, and carry to the second side this term minus delta A by X. Multiply both sides by the inverse of A. The inverse by A, the identity matrix, plus the inverse by delta A. And here, the inverse by the vector, which appears in the right-hand side. Well, now is the moment to apply the property of invertibility of this matrix. Why? Because this is a matrix of the form I plus, say, B, where the norm of B is less than 1. Do you see this? This matrix, that is B, its norm have this assumption. The norm of the product of the norms, the hypothesis, the assumption, less than 1. So we realize that here we have a matrix which is invertible thanks to this assumption, and by using the exercise we saw before. The consequence is that I can express delta x as the inverse of this matrix by all this stuff. The norms, vector and matrix norms. Vector norms, this is a vector, so we consider the equation between the vector norms. Here we can use compatibility, so we write less than or equal to the matrix norm of I stop here, the matrix norm of this matrix by the vector norm of this. We are using other properties. We have the product of two matrices, some multiplicativity, so we have less than the norm of this by the norm of the inverse, this like this. By, again, we have the sum of two vectors, so triangular property. We are using all the properties we have seen before. The norm of delta B plus, I skip a passage, the norm of this vector is less than the norm of delta A by the norm of X. Also, by the exercise seen before, that the norm of the inverse is less than what? 1 over 1 minus the norm of this.
1 minus the norm of this matrix. Let us multiply and divide by the norm of A. Why? The reason is that I want to see the condition now. Here I have the norm of the inverse, so here you have the condition number. I leave unchanged the leading part of the formula for now. The final step, I hope. Here I replace the norm of the product with the product of the norms. They are not equal, but I increase this quantity, which is preceded by a minus sign. So the denominator gets smaller, so the ratio gets greater. So if I replace this with this, I get a greater quantity. At the numerator, I can write now mu of A, this quantity. Here I have this term, which I distribute here. So I find this, what was there here? The norm of the perturbation on the solution x. I divide all by x. Is this the final inequality? Not yet, but we are near the final result. We observe that for this denominator, we have norm of A, norm of X, compatibility, norm of AX, which is equal to norm of B. This is smaller, so we can increase the bound. Putting here the norm of B, is all fine. There is only a tiny detail. Here I can divide and multiply by norm of A. Let us compare this expression, let's take here, with the thesis, the condition number, 1 minus, this is me, delta A over A, norm, like this, the sum of the two perturbations. So there are, you can find a simplified version of this inequality when delta A is 0. If delta A is 0, the value simplifies a bit. When the perturbation of a matrix, the efficient matrix, is the zero matrix, this becomes me, this is zero, this is zero, this is the simplified version you probably already know. What is another important application of the conditioning of a matrix for our problem? If it is clear that the study of conditioning is a preliminary task also for linear system, and if a linear system, or better, the matrix A, since the number me is attached to the matrix, is great, then it is clear that whichever method will be used, I have to expect poor result, because if this, let us turn to the general inequality, if this is big, I see that the perturbation of the result can be big too. So we assume that we have to solve a well-conditioned problem, which for this kind of problem is a well-conditioned matrix A, which means the condition number is small. How small? Remember, Mark, by its definition, by some multiplicativity, this has to be greater than the norm of the product, which is the norm of the identity matrix, which is equal to 1 in the case of inducing norm. So the small for the condition number means near 1. We are close. We hope to be near 1. So we assume that the matrix is well conditioned in this sense. When we choose a method, say a direct method, for solving the system, we have to face two aspects. capiti? And complexity. For us, complexity will mean simply the total amount of floating point operations, so called flows. We will count only, in most cases, we will count only the multiplicative operations, multiplications and divisions. Stability means how the chosen method, propagates rounding errors. The best situation is when I have only a well-conditioned problem with a stable method which propagates poorly the rounding errors with a low complexity. If we see all in this way, we can believe that the notion of conditioning, the condition number in particular, has nothing to do with these aspects, in particular with this aspect, the stability, la stabilità del metodo. This is not true, it is not exact, in the sense that stability can be measured by seeing the computed solution, computed in the rounding errors, obviously, as the exact solution of a perturbed system. So if X tilde computed is seen as X plus delta X, as in the result we gave just now, solution of the perturbed system A plus delta A X tilde B plus delta B. So the stability, that is stable method, is the same as delta X small, not relatively. So stable method, the stability of the method, can be linked with the let us put here simply the condition number. The same relation as before. So where this perturbation delta A and delta B are not true, effective, real perturbations, but simulate the effect of randomness. So the study of the stability of the method can be developed using this idea. This idea is the central idea of the so-called backward error analysis. Io faccio finta che la soluzione esatta sia la soluzione calcolata sia la soluzione esatta di un sistema modificato. For the perturbed system, I use this inequality. So I hope I would be happy if this is small. This is small if me is small. This is clear. But also if these two phantom quantities are small too. It can be, this is the final consideration, let me stop. It can be shown that the fictitious delta A and delta B measured relatively in norm can be large if the magnitude of the computed computed numbers involved in the implementation of the method, it depends also by the algorithm, so it's more correct to say implementation. Of the method the magnitude of the computer numbers involved in implementation of the method is magnitude greater or much greater than the magnitude of the data. This is a general result for all direct methods. It is quite complicated to prove we this as a well-assessed statement. And quando applicando un metodo diretto, i numeri che intervengono durante l'applicazione del metodo sono grandi, molto più grandi da quelli da cui sono partito, con i grandi dei dati, allora se uno si prende la briga di ricostruire che sono le permutazioni delta V e delta A eccetera, trova che sono molto grandi anche quando il condizionamento è ragionevole. Quindi, il significato profondo dell'analisi inversa dell'errore, the deep meaning of the backward analysis, error analysis, is this. the magnitude of the partial results appearing involved in the computation is a sign of, is a warning that the method is possibly unstable. Okay, next time we will discuss in detail the single direct methods I have listed before. Okay, domande? D'accordo, continuiamo martedì.